The Mishnah on Daf Tezayin Amid Beis, Ma Bein Tam Lemuad. What is the difference between a Shar Tam and a Shar Muad? Ela Shatam Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. This we've discussed on many occasions. The Tam for the first three Negichas only pays 50% of the damages, Migufo, and up until but not beyond the value of the Shara Mazik. So for example, if half the compensation, half of the damage exceeds beyond the value of the Mazik, the Shara Mazik, then that amount is not paid. Which means in effect that the Mazik, in the case of Tam, will pay in many situations less than 50% of the damage. As opposed to the case of a Shar HaMazik, if the Shar HaMazik is not worth, in the case of a Shar Muad, the entire damage, meaning let's say the Shar HaMazik is worth less than the damage, the damage was 100, the Shar is only worth 90, nevertheless, the Mazik has to pay that extra 10 as well. He has to pay the full compensation for the damage, even if it exceeds beyond the value of the Shara Mazik. That's called Min Aliyah. Now the next piece of Gemara here on the bottom of Tezayin Amud Beis is an Agadata that continues on to Yudzayin Amud Aleph, which is the daf that we want to start today. The Gemara says, "My Aliyah." What is the meaning of that word used by the Mishnah, Aliyah? What does the Mishnah have in mind when it says that the Muad pays Nezek Shalom in Aliyah? Amar Rabbi Loza says, "Bama'ula shebenechasav." Meaning, forget about the value of the Shara Mazik. Let's just pay the damages and pay it from the best of your possessions, meaning the Mazik's possessions. For example, if the Mazik is paying karka, he's going to give Meitav the best of his karka. Now, at this point, the Agadata begins, and we're going to start with Kvuras Chizkio HaMelech. Chizkio was a great tzaddik. And there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim which describes the kvura, the burial of Chizkiyahu. And there too we'll see the word Aliyah. V'cheinu omer pasuk in Divrei Hayamim vayishkav Yechizkiyahu imavosa vayikberu b'male kivrei b'nei David. What is Male Kivrei B'nei Dovid? They buried Chizkio in a kvura which was called Male. Omar Rav Elazar ben Male Eitzel HaMa'ulim Shebe Mishpacha. He was buried next to the greats of the family. Uman Ninu, who is this great? David Ushlomo. And because Chizkio belonged to that family, that's why it's called the Ma'ula Shebe Mishpacha. There's a note here that I wanted to share with you. There were other kings that were buried close to their avoseim, their forefathers, but only in the case of Chizkiah was the decision made not to bury him next to his father. His father was, of course, a Rasha. But rather, because of the tzidkus, the righteousness of Chizkio, they buried him dafka next to David and Shlomo. The Gemara now gives another explanation of Rabbi Elazar for this pasuk regarding the kvura of the kings of Israel. And this is also based on Divrei Hayamim with regard to the king of Judah, Asa Melch Yehuda. Vayikberu bekivrosav Asher Karalo Beir David Vayashkivu Ba Mishkov Asher Mile Bisomim Uznin. What is this Again, we're no longer talking about the word ma'ula now. We've gone on to, from the discussion about Kvuras Chizkiyahu to another Kvura of one of the kings of Israel. This is the Kvura of Asa Melech Yehuda, and the Pasuk uses a very strange phrase here, Besamim Uznin. My Besamim Uznim. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Elazar Amar, Zine Zine. Different species, different categories of Besamim. And these were all used in the Kvura of Asa. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omer, Besomim Shekala Miriach Bahem Boli De Zima. This is such a powerful smell to these, I guess you'd call it, types of incense, that it could have even an impact on a person's to engender a certain lustful kind of desire, that smells have the power to arouse a certain desire. Now, the Maharal Miprag wrote Chidushei Agados, and he explains that, according to Rabbi Elazar, the phrase here was, with the vast quantity of types of spices. According to Rav Shmuel, on the other hand, the phrase here is not the quantity, but rather the quality of the spices. They had such a powerful, profound smell that one who smelled them would come to Zima. It would just have a physical impact on his whole system. Now, there's another pasuk, and again a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, how to interpret this pasuk. Just a little background here. Yirmiyahu, the Navi, is praying that Hashem should punish those people, those members of the nation who refuse to listen to his nevuah, to his rebuke, to his castigation, and they are looking to do him under, to destroy the life of Yirmiyah. And in the course of this prayer, he describes the intention of these evildoers, and he says, Ki karu shucha lilachdeni, Upachim tomnu l'raglai. And we're going to focus on this phrase, shucha, karu shucha l'lachdeni. Rabbi Elazar Omer, shechashdu mizona. They actually spread a rumor about Yirmiyahu HaNavi that he had relations with a single girl who was a zona. And Yirmiyahu, keep in mind, was a Kohen, and a Zona is prohibited to a Kohen with an Iser Lav. So this was the terrible rumor that they were spreading, these evildoers were spreading about Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omar, Shechashdu Me'eshes Ish. It's even worse. They suspected, or they sent out a rumor that he was living with a married woman in an adulterous relationship. And basically, these were people who could not tolerate the nevuah of Yirmiyah. And we find both in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu that rebuked the people, and the case of Yirmiyah that rebuked the people, those who couldn't withstand, they couldn't tolerate that rebuke, they spread terrible rumors about Moshe Rabbeinu in his time, about Yirmiyahu in his time. According to a statement in the Medrash, both Moshe and Yirmiyahu, in order to receive their nevuah, had to separate themselves from their wives, respectively, for a period of 40 years. So the so-called Leitzanei Adar, the cynics of the generation, says, oh, it's impossible that for 40 years they were separated from their wives. They must have had relations with other wives, with married women. And this is what they were spreading, a rumor to undermine the reputation of Yirmiyahu. Now, the Gemara is going to support that second opinion, Bishlei Milaman Diomar, Shechashdu Mizona, that makes sense because the pasuk here says shucha. Hainu dechsiv ki shucha amuka zona. And what that apparently means is that someone who has relations with his zona, it's very difficult for him to uproot himself from that that way of life. And it's almost like, in comparison to a person who falls into a deep pit, and he doesn't know how to get out of that pit. And the Gemara answers, "Atu eishes ish mi nafka mechal zona." It means that if he has relations with an eishes ish, that's also a zona, because she was unfaithful to her husband when she has this relationship out of the wedlock. Then she becomes a zona. So this phrase shocha amuka. Shucha Muka is also appropriate according to that interpretation of Reb Shmuel, namely Eishes Ish. Bishleim Amad Yomer Shechashdu Meishes Ish Hainu Dechsiv. Yirmiyahu says V'yata Hashem Yodata Es Kol Atzosam Olai Lamavis, meaning they are spreading a rumor about me that I'm Chayv Misa, meaning I had relations with an Eishes Ish. Even though it's a violation of a law for a kohen to have relations with a zona, but she's a pnuya, she's not married, there's no chiv misa here. So Gemara answers that the intention of Yirmiyah in this pasuk, we'll read the pasuk atzasam alai lamavis, means heshlichu lebe'er tit. They tried to kill him, actually to murder him, by throwing him into a concrete be'er that would kill him. And that's what it means here in this pasuk. Darash Rava. Again, this is all part of the tefillah of Yirmiyah that we started studying. Mai dechsiv v'yiu mukhsholim lefanecha v'yis apcha asei bahem. They should be falling down when you get angry. And do to them. Amar Yirmiyahu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, afilu b'shah she'osim tzedaka, hachshilem b'fnei adam she'enem mehugonim kedei shelo yekablu aleihen schar. He was talking about these evildoers, and he was cursing them. These were the people who wanted to kill him. And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if at certain moments they do tzedaka, nevertheless, still make sure that they give tzedaka to people who are einam agunim. They're not achieving any goal and there's no mitzvahs. They shouldn't be receiving reward, any reward for this kind of tzedaka. The emphasis here is on the word mukshalim, lefanecha, because lefanecha is a reference, an allusion to tzedaka, like the pasuk says in Yeshayahu Anovi, v'holach lefanecha tzidkacha. Now, we mentioned before the kvura of Chizkiyo HaMelech. The Gemara continues now back on that pasuk in Divrei Yomim, v'kavod asulo b'moso. There was a great respect and honor that they gave him in his death, meaning in his burial. Malami, this teaches us, Shoshivu Yeshiva Al Kivro, that they set up Talmidim who would learn Torah very close to his burial place. And that was meant to remind everyone how much Torah he learnt, and how much Torah he caused all the Jewish nation to study. The Gemara says that during the period of time of Chizkiyahu, he had increased the Torah learning to such an extent that from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, you couldn't find a man or a woman or even a child that wasn't a bucky in the laws of Tumah Vitara. But again, not that they studied Torah on his kever, but rather Dalet Amos away from his kever. Otherwise, there's an Issa called Loeg LaRosh, which enjoins someone from learning Torah right next to the kever. Upligi ba Rav Nosson v'Rabbanon. How long of a period of time did they have this yeshiva going on close to his kever? And we have machlokas in between Rav Nosson and the Chachamim. Chad Omar Shloshi Yomim. Now, the number three here is a very interesting number because the Gemara establishes in Moikotin that there are 3 days from the time of the death which are very severe, very profound requirements of Avelus. The main Avelus is the first 3 years, and there are chumras that apply, like, for example, the Isur of Asiyas Molacha. Even for someone who's absolutely destitute, that applies during those first 3 days for the relatives of the Niftar. Chad Amar Shiva, some, according to one opinion, was 7 days. The Amril is even a third opinion, Shloshim, 30 days. Now again, these are all significant numbers within the context of Hilchas Havelus. Shiva, of course, we know, is the most severe and the most concentrated laws of Avelus, and they are also days of Hesped, and Shloshim reflects the Iser of taking haircuts, going to marriages, and so forth. That's Shloshim Yom. So there's no doubt that at the point, or after the point of the death and the burial of Chizkiyahu, they gave him such a kavod. And whether or not this yeshiva that was set up for him to demonstrate how much Torah he was ma'arav b'Yisrael, whether or not that was for 3 days, the most intense days of Avelus, or for a full week, or possibly even a month, these are the various opinions. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, v'kavod asu lo b'moso zech Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda sheyatzu lefanav Shloshim v'shisha elef chalutze kotef. Now, what we're talking about is people who ripped their garments, and it got to the point where they were exposed their shoulder from such a rip. And how many people were involved in this mourning, this grief? 36,000, which is a massive number. Now, the number 36 is the gematria of lo. And it says, v'kavod asu lo. Lo is an allusion to the 36,000 kruei begadim, people who went in front of his kever, I'm sorry, in front of his coffin, at the burial procedure. 36,000 chalutze katef means they were all ripped, had ripped kriya. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Amalo, Rabbi Nechemia, v'alo lifnei achav asu kein. What's the big deal here? You're making such a to-do about it, that the cover that they gave, the special cover they gave to Yechizkel, they did the same thing for achav. And this is based on a sugi Megillah on Daf Gimel. And the Gemara answers, Elo sheinichu sefer Torah al mitaso v'yomru kiem ze ma shekosu baze. So it's not so much the amount of people that went out in front of the procession of the burial and they were all ripped their garments. No, it's the fact that the sefer Torah was placed on the mita itself. Now, to really appreciate this sugya, we would have to learn Menachos, Daf Lamed Beis, and Beis, the Machlokas Amoraim. Are you allowed to sit on a mita where the Sefer Torah is on that same mita? There's a Sefer Torah on a couch, let's say. You're allowed to sit on that couch. And those who are strict, they would also obviously prohibit putting a Sefer Torah on the mita of a mess. And this is discussed in the Sugyan Moikot and Chaf Hei. When he came to Chizkiyahu, who was the Gadol Biyosa B'Torah Maisim Tovim, I mean, he, Chazal say, he was meant to be Mashiach in the original plan. This was not considered a zilzul in the Sefer Torah. It doesn't lower the respect that we have for the Sefer. And that's why it was mutter. the Meiri has a whole discussion as to whether or not in our time, meaning in his time, would it be mutter to put a Sefer Torah on top of the Mita Shel Mes. And he comes to the conclusion that that only would apply that heter if it's mugba kol shumei amita. It can't be that the Sefer Torah is mamish touching this, laying on top of the mita of the mess. It's got to be elevated to some extent. The Gemara asks, why are you making such a big deal about the fact that at Chizkiyahu's kvura they put the, when they took him out to burial, they took the Sefer Torah and placed it on his mita? We do that today. The Gemara answers, afuke mafkinon anuche loman chinon. According to the first answer of the Gemara, although it's true that we take out a Sefer Torah at the levaya of a great man, but we don't place it on the mita itself. It was only in Chizkiyahu's case, as we saw before, because otherwise it would be prohibited, they placed the Sefer Torah directly on the mita. V'ibayisema, another answer, anuche nami manchinon, even if we'll allow for an Adam Gadol, even in our time, to place the Sefer Torah on top of his coffin, aval kiyem lo amrinu, we don't make this declaration, only in the case of Chizkiyahu did they declare kiyem, meaning whatever in the Sefer Torah, he was makayim. And here I want to point out that Nemuki Yosef explains that if it's known about a certain Talmud Chacham that he was Mekayim the Torah like Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he was Marbitz Torah B'Yisrael, then we can declare about him Kiyem Zeh Mashikosu B'Zeh. There's no separate Isur, Gzeres HaKosu, that there's no one alive, or no one will be alive, that we could say Kiyem Zeh Mashikosu B'Zeh. Now the Gemara says, Omar Rabba Barbachana Haveazilna Bahade Dirab Yochanan Limishe Shmaita Kiavi Oil Besakise. Rabba testifies that he would walk behind Rabbi Yochanan, meaning to escort Rabbi Yochanan, in order to ask a question about the halachas, the sugyas they were learning. And one time, Rabbi Yochanan was going into Kiavi Oil Besakise, he was going into the washroom. Vahava be'idna mine milson. I was asking him to explain some sugya to me. Lo poshit lon. He didn't respond to me. Ademoshe yode. Until he washed his hands. Menach tefillin. Umevarech. He put on tefillin with the brach on tefillin. Vahadar omar loch lon. And then he said to me, Afilu kiem amrinon. Limeid lo amrinon. Meaning that even if Bizman Azeh, we can speak about a Gadol, an Adam Gadol at his funeral and say Kiyem, he fulfilled that which is in the Sefer Torah, but nevertheless, we would say about him, this Adam Gadol, that he was Makayim, but Limeid we would never say. Lo Amrina. It was Chizkiyah who is responsible for Melamei Torah Liyamo Yisrael. And therefore he gets not just Kiyem, but also Limeid. There's a machlokas between Rashi and Meiri. Rashi says, we'll never ever Bismanenu say Limeid, because we don't want to be Pogay in the covet of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Even if we would know about someone that he was Roy, he was suitable and up to par for this Shevach, we don't say it when we take him out to burial. That's because of the covet of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The Meiri says that we don't say limeid because in most cases, even great scholars did not reach this perfection, this level of limeid that was attained by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. In fact, they say about Chizkiyahu HaMelech that he was the only one who was ever melamed to others kol haTorah kula. Because again, at the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, there was such great knowledge that everyone was Bekiyim in Tumah V'Tara. This is all because Chizkiyahu taught so much. It would seem for the Meiri, however, that if you have a great, great teacher who disseminates Torah on the highest level, then maybe we should say Limeid. he doesn't have Rashi's problem of being pogea in the covet of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The Gemara now wants to ask a question on what comes out of the answer of Rabbi Yochanan, that teaching Torah to others is the greatest level. It surpasses by far the level of Kiyum HaMitzvahs. Affecting Gemara, the Omar Mar, didn't we learn in a brisa, Gadol Limud Torah Shal Limud Mevili De Maisa? It seems the Chashivas of Limud is because it leads up to Maisa, to Kiyum HaMitzvah. That's all Tachlis of studying Torah. And therefore that's even more Chashiv than Limud. Limud is only a means to an end. Lo Kasha Holig Migmar Hola Agmure. When a person is studying it for himself and the purpose of his own learning is to reach Masa, to reach Mitzvah, is then Masa is Chashuvi Yoser. Then Echinami, Masa is superior to Limud because his whole purpose in Limud is to reach Masa. But Holag Mure, if someone is studying in order to teach others, that's considered even more than Kiyum HaMitzvahs. Because bringing the Rabban, bringing the masses of people to Maisa, because again, through this Talmud Torah of all these people that come to Lidei Maisa, that's unbelievable. That's greater than Kiyum HaMitzvahs. So the Gemara seems to be assuming that teaching Torah is great because it brings others Lidei Mitzvahs. I mean, you could say it a little different, because to be a teacher of Torah, essentially that changes your personality, that makes you similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Imitatio Dei on the highest level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the Malami Torah Liyamu Yisrael. Om Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shim Ben Yochai Maidich Siva Poskin Yishai Ashreichem Zorei Al Kol Mayim Mishalchei Regel Ashor V'chamor. This Pasuk speaks about the future of Israel, when the Ruach Hashem will come down from on high for Am Yisrael, and they'll do tshuva, they'll go back to Eretz Yisrael. At that time, you'll find mayim, you'll find water for planting all over the place, wherever you look. And the grains are going to be incredible. Such a quantity of grains that v'yishalchu es shor v'chamor liros besodos. Such an awesome, great quantity of produce that the Shor and the Chamor are just going to go out there and graze and eat, and nobody even cares about it. There's so much. And the Gemara wants to say that this Pasuk teaches us something about what a perfect Jew is all about. Kol ha'osek b'Torah u'gemilus chasonim zocho l'nachlas shnei shvotim. This is what we're going to derive from the Pasuk in Yeshaya. We're going to talk now about two Shvatim, and we're going to emphasize the integration in one's life of Esek HaTorah together with Gemilas Chasodim, which is doing Chesed. And who are these two Shvatim? Yosef and Yisachar. And that's why in this Pasuk, it speaks about Shor and Chamor. And let's just go over this very quickly. Yosef is called the Shor, because Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Zos HaBrachos says Bechor Shor Hodor Lo, and Yisachar is compared by Yaakov Avinu way back in Sefer Bereishis, Yisachar Chamor Gorem. So we have the Shor and we have the Chamor. The Shor is an allusion to Yosef, the Chamor to Yisachar. Shenemar Achshreichem Zorei. Where do we see any remez in this pasuk in Yeshayahu Anovi to Gemilus Chasodim? The answer is Ashreichem. It says Zorei, and Zriya means stocker. When you plant something, it grows, and if you give stocker, then the person who receives it will be able to grow and use that money and raise a family and so forth and so on. Shenemar Ziru Lachem Tztaka. If you don't believe that the pasuk, that the word Zriya in Tanakh is connected to Tztaka, I'll show you from Pasuk in Hoshea Novi. Ziru Lachem Litztaka Vekitzru Lefi Chesed. So we're talking about Tztaka and Chesed, and we're talking about Zriya. And the pasuk also says Al Kol Mayim, so that's going to be the second element here in this equation. V'ein Mayim Al Torah. Mayim means the study of Torah. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Yochai are telling us that this pasuk in Yeshayah Shrechem is describing in the highest level of praise one who integrates both the study of Torah and the action of chesed and doing chesed. How do we know that Mayim in this pasuk is an allusion to Torah? Ein Mayim el Torah shenemar hoy called Samei Lechula Mayim. And the word Mayim here is a code word for the Torah. And the tzimon here, meaning the thirst for Torah, that's because Torah is called Mayim. It's like Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim for 3 days, they were fatigued because they didn't have any Mayim, they didn't have any Torah. So that's the tzame, the person who's thirsty, is Misavel Mayim, the nefesh. A nefesh that has chachma, or a propensity for chachma, has a taiva to study Torah. V'zochel nachas shnei shvatim. And what is this concept of nachas shnei shvatim? What's unique about these two shvatim of Yosef and Yisachar? Number one is zochel chila. Chila is called chen. A certain grace, a certain gravity, you know, certain something that people are gravitationally drawn towards, and that's Ki Yosef. Yosef is going to be the one who epitomizes Chen. The word Kila itself means Hishtokikus, a craving for something, desire. And in this case, because of Yosef's Chen, his beauty, everyone was mishtakek, had a tremendous push and drive to see him. The Chsiv, it says, with regard to Yaakov's bestowing the bracha on the sons, in this case Yosef, Ben Paras Yosef. Paras is Chen. Yosef, it says, Benos Tzada Ale Shur. This is what Yaakov blesses Yosef. And this is a reference to the Benos Mitzrayim that would walk and climb onto a wall in order to see the beauty of Yosef. He was so beautiful. V'zochel nachas Yisachar, which is wealth. Tichsiv Yisachar chamor gorem. Istiyami, others say, Oivav noflim lefanov ki Yosef, that the person who again combines Torah study and chesed, his enemies will fall in front of him, like Yosef. The Chsiv, it says, with regard to the bracha Moshe Rabbeinu for Shevet Yosef, Bechor Shor Hador Lo V'Karni Reim Karnov, Bohem Amim Yenagach Yachdov Afsei Oretz. Chsiv is compared to the Shor, and his Karnayim, his horns, will gore and destroy the enemies all over the earth. Araf Seoritz. V'zochel Bina, in addition, will have the ability to understand with wisdom, Mevin Dover, Dover, Tok Dover, Ki Yisachar. The Pasuk in Divrei Yom describes Yisachar, Dixiv, Umnei Yisachar, Yodei Vino, Le'itim, Ladas, Mayasa, Li'Yisrael. The wonderful quality of the Bina of Yisachar, such that people come to take counsel with him, to ask for his advice, he will guide them. And we always know that a chacham is someone that gives guidance, gives etzus, and they're always reliable, and they reflect the situation of the time, and as it changes, and the unique needs or abilities of the person they're speaking to. That's the great Baal Eitza, which is the Chachamim, which is epitomized by Shevet Yisachar, and any Chacham who combines his wisdom, his Esek HaTorah, with Chesed and Tzedakah will become a part of Shevet Yisachar, at least as far as the Brach is concerned. And with that, we end our study of Perek Arba Ovis Nezik in the first parak of Bava Kama. And then we go on to begin the Mishnah of Ketzad HaRegel, the second perek. And just to give a little bit of an introduction to the Mishnah of Ketzad HaRegel, we've already added the previous Mishnah, the Chamisha Sugim, the five categories of Mazikim, which are Mu'adim. We've got Shein, we've got Regel, we've got Karen after the third time, we've got Karen Brishus HaNizak according to Rabbi Tarfon. These are all Mu'adim that pay Nezik Sholim. We have Adam HaMazik who pays Nezik Sholim. And the Mishnah is now in the second parak. We're going to go through these cases, and it begins with Regel. And the Rishonim are going to ask, why does this parak begin with the laws of Regel rather than Shein? Since in the Pasuk it says, V'shilach asa be'era ubir b'stei acher. And our Mishnais follow the pattern of Torah Shebichsav. It says, V'shilach es ha-be'ira chazal se v'shilach haynu Regel, ubir is Shein. And therefore the Mishnah begins this parak with Regel. V'shilach es habeira. Now there's a very interesting comment here in the name of Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz, and he writes that the reason why the Tana began with to explain the last Mishnah, the previous Mishnah on Tezvav Amid Beis, is because over there it says that Nachash is Muad Li Olam. A Nachash by its essence is Mazik. And therefore we should treat it as Regel. Regel is Hezek Derech Hilucha. And therefore the Mishnah here begins with Dini Regel, because the last thing we discussed in the Mishnah was Nachash. And again, even though Nachash is Kavanos Lahazik, nevertheless it's still Regel, because that's the way it does it. That's its very nature, its very essence. The Mishnah says, Ketzad haRegel mu'edes. L'gabi, what do we say that the regel is mu'ad? L'shaber derech b'derech hilucha. It breaks things as it's walking, and therefore pays nezek sholem. And again, what this means is that there's no kavanos lahazik over here, because it's just simply walking to get from one point to its destination. And therefore, it's not keren, it's regel. If it would be kavanos lahazik, then it becomes some unusual kind of behavior, and it would be keren. Why is this called regel? Because this is the normal way that it goes. There's no kavanos lahazik, there's no unusual behavior pattern, it's regel. Now the Mishnah enumerates two scenarios in which a behema was mazik with its regel. And because it's a little different than the classical regel, therefore you only pay chatzi nezek, whereas regel pays nezek sholem. Hoysem v'aetes, it was kicking with its feet. Oshahayu tsroros menatzin mitachas ragleha. So not that the animal had a direct contact with something and damaged that something, but rather it sent out tsroros, pebbles or whatever it is, stones. Is shavras akelim, and as a result of this kicking up stones, utensils were broken. Mishalim chatzi nezek. In such a case, it's called chatzi nezek tsroros, and you only pay. And all this is based on a halacha l'moshe misina, that you only pay half of the damages, and the payment is going to be mishum regel. Please note the difference between the two cases mentioned in this Mishnah. One is Mivaetes, and that Lechora would be Keren. Even though, again, the animal is using its feet, that doesn't make it automatically Regel. But since it's not Darko, it's not usual, and this is not something that we anticipate, that the animal would kick Kalim, and in this case break these Kalim, that becomes a told of Keren. And therefore, the Baal will only pay Chatzi Nezek, like the din of Keren. But in the second case of Itiza Tsroros, that's where the animal is going Kedarka, in its normal way, its normal path. This is not something unusual. It becomes a told of Regel, and therefore you pay Nezek Sholem. Now, this Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which establishes Tsroros as a Chatzi Nezek, which is the only case of Regel that we know of a Chatzi Nezek, is essentially what this Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai is establishing. You will see that Tzumchus has a different kind of Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, is that when the animal is not Mazik Begufa, it's using Kocha, so it's not a direct Hezek, then the compensation is reduced from Nezek Sholem down to Chatzi Nezek. The Mishnah concludes by saying, Darsa ala kli v'shavroso v'nafal al kli v'shavro. In other words, the animal jumped on a utensil, broke it, and then one of the broken pieces of this kli fell on another kli and broke it. So on the Rishon, ala Rishon, Mishalim, Nezek Sholem, that's a classical case of Regel, because the animal was walking and it stomped on a kli. But when the kli smashed and pieces went flying out and destroyed other pieces and damaged other pieces, ala Achron, Mishalim, Chatzi Nezek, that's already Tsroros. So the fascinating conclusion is that there's one Maisa, and yet that one action on the part of the animal engendered two different damages, and one damage comes under Regel, the other damage comes under Tsroros. So for one damage, that's the kli that it directly smashed, you pay Nezek Sholem. For the second damage, you only pay Chatzi Nezek Tsroros. Now, what I would like to understand here, this Rishon, the first kli, is that called Keren? It doesn't seem so. It would seem more logical that is Regel, and you pay Nezek Sholem for Regel. And the reason is because the animal doesn't have Kavon Lahazik. The animal is just walking, and it crushes Kalim that are in its pathway. So again, the Chiddush might be that even if the animal was Dores on the Kli with a Koach, with a major force, such that now a Shever from this broken Kli goes out and damages other Kalim, and certainly there would be a place, there would be room to think that that's called Kavanos Lahazik, and it should be a Tolda of Keren, but we don't say so. But rather we say that we assume that the first kli was broken Kedarka while it was walking in its way, it was in its path, and therefore the Baal have to pay Nezek Sholem. The Mishnah adds to this din about the regal that it's Muedes, that's not only in a Behema, but it's also in an Oaf. Tarnagolin Muadim Lahal Kedarka L'Shaber. And the question is, was there some sort of a Hava Mina that Ophos would be different and there would be no Chiv Regel, because the Torah in the Parashat Regel says V'shilach HaSabi'ira, which Targum Unkelus translates as Behema, and now we need a special Ribui for Ophos. That's a bit of a Pella. I mean, let's say for example in Keren, is there a Havmina that's only a Shar because the Torah says Shar? And here also the Torah says Behema, and therefore it's the exclusion of Oaf. I don't know how that works. In any event, getting back to the case of Regel, the Mishnah concludes by saying Hayadolil, which means any sort of object, kosher baraga, which is tied to the feet of this chicken, and the Tarnagolis throws this Dolil onto Kalim and destroys them. Mahades, the Tarnagol is like jumping up and down, like dancing, and then it's sending out Tsroros. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah will pick up Yud Zayin Amud Beis in the next Shia. and we completed the first Mishnah in Perek Keset HaRegel, and the Gemara of Ravina is going to embellish on this concept of Regel and how it works, what are the Ovos, what are the Toldos, etc. Mirz Shem tomorrow. Thank you.